Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. And if you'd like to join us in join along in your Bibles, read along in your Bibles with the message today, I'm going to be preaching beginning at Isaiah chapter 45 in the Old Testament, the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 45. I'll spend a lot of time there. I have a couple of messages that I want to bring to you concerning this subject: Israel shall be saved. Israel shall be saved. And this is the first message on that. Quite often I'll have people ask me about the state of the nation Israel today, in Palestine, in the Mideast, the country which is an ally of the United States, which I'm very, very glad that the United States is an ally of Israel, that we support Israel politically, economically. And they'll ask me about, is this the fulfillment of scriptural prophecy, Bible prophecy, all of that, the nation Israel today taking back the land? And often, quite often, they become disappointed when they hear my answer to this, because there are people today who claim to be Christian, who base their hope in the future upon what's going on in Palestine today with the nation Israel. And like I said, I'm glad there is a nation Israel. It's the only democracy that I know of in the Mideast. And I'm glad that we support that nation politically and economically. Our current president recognizing Israel as a state. They're enemies of Israel that border them, that won't even recognize them as a state, a valid state, and want their existence to be wiped out, and that's totally wrong. But here's the thing about it. I support Israel politically, economically, as far as I know of the goings-on of politics and economics. You know, there's probably a lot goes on that I don't know. But I don't support Israel religiously because I'm a Christian, and that means I trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whom religiously Israel rejects, the nation Israel. And whenever you look in the Bible concerning prophecies of the future of Israel, as far as the New Testament is concerned, the events leading up to the second coming of Christ, it's not Israel coming back together as a nation physically in unbelief, rejecting Christ. It's Israel, spiritual Israel, coming together under the headship of Christ, in faith in Christ. And that's not to knock modern day Israel. We're going to be talking, I'm going to show you in Scripture where the Israel that God chose and saves eternally is spiritual Israel. And I get accused of, you'll hear this term quite a bit, replacement theology, where people say that we believe that the church replaced Israel. And that is not, that's a straw man. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The church did not replace Israel. Israel, the nation under the old covenant, was a picture of the church. And the church is the fulfillment, not the replacement. It's the fulfillment of what Israel pictured. It's kind of like this. From Abel on, we see the sacrifice of animals, lambs, for example, picturing the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you follow my logic here. Scriptural logic. All through the Old Testament, you see the sacrifice of lambs, for example. Well, John the Baptist comes on the scene and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God," pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Now, did Christ replace all of those lambs slain under the Jewish altars? No. He is the fulfillment of what those lambs pictured and prophesied and pointed to. So no, I don't believe I'm not into replacement theology. The church did not replace Israel. But the church, the true church, believers, Jew and Gentile, the elect of God, is the fulfillment of what Israel pictured in their existence as a nation. And that picture only goes so far because the nation Israel was made up of rebels, unbelievers mainly. Now, don't get me wrong. That's no reason for us to think highly of ourselves. You know, somebody might say, "Well, if I'd have been there, I would have acted differently." No, you wouldn't. The nation Israel is like a microcosm, a picture of fallen humanity apart from the grace of God. But we're going to look at this. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 45. You know, the prophets prophesied truth to the people, to the nation. And here we have Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah prophesied in Jerusalem. Some say that he was a member of the royal family, which may have been so. But he prophesied in Jude, in Jerusalem. He prophesied around the temple and all of that. And he is speaking here of the impending judgment of God coming upon Israel. And he says, look at verse 15 of Isaiah 45. He says, "Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior." Verse 16, "They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols." Now, idolatry was a big problem amongst the Jewish people. They were, on a whole, the nation were made up of unbelievers, rebels, idolaters. There were a few believers. In fact, Isaiah spoke of that back over in Isaiah chapter 1 when he opened his prophecy, showing the sin and depravity of Israel. And again, now let me caution you that that's a picture of the sin and depravity of all of us by nature, even America. We're not, America is not a Christian nation. I know there are certain principles laid out in the Bible upon which our country was founded, but it was not Christianity, the gospel. But here's what Isaiah said in the opening of his prophecy, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "Except the Lord of hosts," and that's a way of referring to God as the Lord of a great army. What that refers to is the invincibility of God. He cannot be defeated. And he says, "Except the Lord of hosts had left us unto us a very small remnant." Now, you know what a remnant is. Go to the carpet store and ask them to sell you a remnant. They're not going to sell you a whole room full of carpet, are they? They're going to sell you a little piece of a carpet. And that's what a remnant is in Israel, or in Judah here. A small group of people, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." Now, you know about Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you? Everyone in those cities were wiped out except those who came out. And even Lot's wife looked back. You remember that. And so he says in verse 10 of Isaiah 1, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah." Now, who's he talking about? He's talking to Israel, to Judah. And he's calling them Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, their problem in the pervading sinfulness of Israel and Judah was not homosexuality, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, but it was spiritual fornication, spiritual adultery, as they left the true and living God to worship their idols. And so Isaiah is prophesying, God's going to judge you for this. You say God, you know, back over in Isaiah 45, a God who hides himself. Well, why is he hidden? Because of the darkness of our own natural thinking, our own natural minds. But here's what he says. Now, he speaks of judgment. He even, if you look at the beginning of Isaiah 45, he even prophesies of a heathen king named Cyrus, who's going to come much later and deliver Israel out of the Babylonian captivity. And so he's saying here this, God's going to bring judgment upon Judah and Jerusalem for their sins. Later on, Jeremiah, he's going to prophesy this and tell them that you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. In other words, God's going to punish you. But there's also a message of hope here. And that's where I want to get to. Look at verse 17. Now, God's going to punish you, but verse 17 says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord. Now, listen to this. With an everlasting salvation, you shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Now, that's a great prophecy, isn't it? That's positive. Israel shall be saved. Israel. Now, you know, the northern kingdom at this time, which was called Israel, was being destroyed by the Assyrian Empire and scattered. But Isaiah's prophesying in Judah, the southern kingdom. But he goes back to Israel. That was the name God gave to Jacob. You remember? Jacob, the sinner. He became Israel because of God's grace in saving him through Christ, as prophesied. The name Israel, what does it mean? It means those who have prevailed with God. Now, how can a sinner like me or like you or like these prevail with God? Only as we look to Christ and plead Christ and plead His blood as the complete payment for all our sins. To plead His righteousness imputed as our complete justification before God. That's how we prevail with God to gain salvation, you see. Because He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. And so He says, Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. This is not a temporary thing, see. This salvation. This is an everlasting salvation. Now we know that Israel and Judah went into captivity. We know they were brought out of captivity by Cyrus, the king of Persia, out of the Babylonian captivity after they'd been there 70 years. But we also know that they never in their whole existence up in, from then on, never were out from under a foreign ruler. And then in AD 70, the nation was totally destroyed. Now we have Israel today that came back, but not under the headship of Christ now. Economically, politically, we support them, but not religiously if we're true Christians, because they're unbelievers. We pray for their salvation. Somebody said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, sure. We pray for peace all over the world. But mainly we pray for salvation for sinners. That's what we're about. That's what evangelism is about. But who is this Israel that shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation? Now, the Bible teaches that this Israel is spiritual Israel, God's chosen people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation, Jew and Gentile, all who are brought by God to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to Him and rest Him. Now, let's read some more scripture here. Look at verse 18 of Isaiah 45. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there's none else. God created this world in order to glorify Himself. Verse 19, I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. He's talking about the gospel here. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. And he speaks righteousness, justice. Now, how does he do that? In the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God. Romans 1, 16 and 17. And that righteousness of God is the merit, the value of the glorious person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ to save his people, Israel, from their sins. That's who he's talking about. And he says in verse 20, now listen to this. He says, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, you that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. That's what idolatry is. Praying to a false God, a God who cannot save. Verse 21, tell you, bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? This is no new message, you see. This is the old message. This is the eternal message. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. Now listen to this, underscore this, a just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. You see that? That's a summation of the glory of God revealed in the gospel. He's both a just God as well as a Savior. You see, this is the answer of the eternal question of the ages. How can a holy and just and righteous God, how can he love, be merciful to, be gracious to sinners, and still remain true to his righteousness, his truth, his justice, his holiness? He must be both a just God and a Savior. How can he do that? Well, the answer is in the gospel. God appointed Christ to be the surety of his people. And Christ willingly took that office on. He said, I will be surety. He said, if they've done anything wrong, which we have, put it to my charge. Lay it to my account. I'll repay it. And Christ willingly agreed in the covenant of grace before the world ever began to do what was necessary and required to save the people whom God chose and gave to Christ, Israel. Christ came to this earth. He was made flesh. He was made of a woman, the scripture says. The seed of woman, without sin, without the aid of man. He was made under the law, Galatians 4:4 says. That means all of the conditions of the salvation of God's people were laid upon him. He had to keep the law and satisfy its justice. He was made under the law, made of a woman, to redeem them that were under the law. He had to substitute himself in the place of his people, die the death that they earned and deserved, and in his death he had to work out a perfect righteousness that enables God to be both a just God as well as a Savior, a righteous judge as well as a loving, merciful, and gracious Father. God is just to save his people from their sins. You see, grace is not just some arbitrary feeling or disposition that God has toward people. And he established that from the very beginning. He told Adam and Eve, blood has to be shed because the wages of sin is death. That's why Christ had to die. He had to suffer unto death because of the sins of his people imputed to him. And that's what Israel's all about. The sins of Israel were imputed to Christ. What Israel? God's chosen people. All who are brought to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. That's who. And so God had to be just to do so. Grace is just. Romans 5:21 tells us, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness, that's justice, satisfy, through righteousness unto eternal life, that's everlasting salvation, by Jesus Christ our Lord. And then look at Isaiah 45:22 then. Here's the command of the gospel. Verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Not just one nation, but all the ends of the earth. See, this gospel call goes out and it's to the ends of the earth. And he said, for I'm God, there's none else. Look at verse 23. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness. You see, this is a sure promise of God. And it shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Verse 24. And listen to this. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. I don't have any righteousness in myself. I don't have any strength in myself. It's in the Lord. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Now, what is it to be justified? Well, it's to be forgiven of all my sins. It's to have all of my sins charged to Christ and imputed to him. It's to see myself as justified, righteous in God's sight, not based upon my doing or my deciding anything. It's based upon Christ's righteousness imputed. And that's who Israel is. All sinners to whom God does not impute sin, but to whom God imputes righteousness, that's Israel. Now, Paul wrote about that in Romans 11. And I'm going to go over into the New Testament, mainly next week for this. But you know, he talks about in Romans 11, verse 1. He says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Well, that question comes in light of the fact that God has promised to save all Israel. But over their history, the majority of the Jewish people have rejected Christ. Rejected the gospel. Well, does that mean God has cast away his people? God forbid, he says in Romans 11:1. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And he says in verse 2, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Now that foreknew is foreknowledge. That's not just knowing something ahead of time. But that foreknowledge there is the word foreknowledge in the Bible, which means foreordained. See, God doesn't learn anything. He knows everything. He's omniscient. And he foreordained this. And the people whom he foreordained, God has not cast them off. Verse 2 says, Romans 11, wot ye not or know ye not what the scripture saith of Elias or Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, they've digged down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. See, Elijah thought he was by himself, and nobody else believed the gospel. Verse 4, but what saith the answer of God unto him? God said, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Look at verse 5 now. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant, there's that word remnant again, according to the election of grace. There's a remnant of God's chosen people, and it's the election of grace. They're not God's chosen people because of who they are or what they've done. It's all of grace in Christ. Verse 6, and if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained it, that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now, you've got to keep in mind what he's doing here. When he speaks of the unbelievers in the nation Israel, he's talking about physical Israel. And he says they didn't obtain what they were seeking for. Well, what were they seeking for? Well, I'll show you next week. They were seeking righteousness by their works, works of the law. They did not obtain it. But the election obtained it. those whom God chose, they obtained it. Why? Because they seek it in Christ, by faith in Christ. They look for righteousness not in themselves, not by their works, but in Christ. And over in Hebrews, or Romans 11 rather, in verse 26 he says, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Verse 27, "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Now that refers to the new covenant, which is in Christ, and which is the fulfillment in time of the everlasting covenant of grace. And so God will take away their sins. Well, how's he going to do that? Is he going to just ignore their sins, turn his back on them? No. He's going to satisfy his justice in the person and work of his Son, who will wash away their sins. That's the term we use. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's how Israel shall be saved. They're not going to be saved by keeping the law. They're not going to be saved by obtaining a geographical piece of land. They're not going to be saved by building a physical temple. They're going to be saved like anybody else is saved, if they're saved, by looking to Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And all who do, all who are brought by the grace of God, no man will do it on his own, but all who are brought by the grace of God to look to Christ and rest in him and submit to him as their righteousness before God, that's the Israel of God. That's the Israel that shall be saved. And so Israel shall be saved in the Lord. It's coming together under the headship of Christ by faith in Christ, rejecting and repenting of our dead works. That's the Israel of God. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.